Blog Talk Radio.
By the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Sheree Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born, talent events, and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank everyone for tuning back in to Talk to Me Radio. This is 2024, and the 13th season is almost over in April, so we are continuing. I had a break from the radio show. I got a lot of things started and things that I want to do accomplished, and I'm not going to get into that, but today we are discussing loving and loving my blackness, because it is still February, and for those of you who have African descent, you are always black, no matter what day of the year it is. And so we miss Valentine's. I hope everyone that did celebrate it had a wonderful, wonderful time, and we're going to be talking a little bit about love. I love the love. I'm in love with the idea of love. I've been in love many, many times in my life. And I don't think that's going to stop. Maybe it will. I don't know. But in any case, you know, loving yourself is number one and key into loving someone else in a relationship. And so I do want to let you know we have a fantabulous, dynamic person coming on who is going to be telling us about his journey with his career, who he is, the things that he's doing now, what his plans are. And he just happens to be my cousin who's doing wonderful and great things. Like a lot of people in my family are in the music industry and things of that nature. So, you know, we're going to talk to him, see what's up. And I want you to know that this show has been going on for 13 and a half years, over 500 guests, over 200 episodes, over 10,000 in listeners around the world. It does stream live. Of course, we reach the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, Dominican Republic, South Africa, Nigeria, and now Italy and Egypt. And so, I just wanted to let you know a little bit of background on the show for past guests. I'm going to try to read that at the end of the segment so you can hear some of the people who have graced this show since we might have some time. In any case, I am going to get into the scriptures for today. And the scriptures basically I'm going into blackness. And what does the Bible say about that? Well, there's many people in the Bible that are of African descent because that's where life began. And so I am going to read from Song of Solomon, which is 1, chapter 5, excuse me. I am very dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, I'm not going to be able to do all the scriptures, but I'm going to try to do as many as I can. Acts 10:34 says, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. So God doesn't see skin like we do. And basically that scripture is telling you that. Revelations 1 through 15 says, his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. I did a painting of Jesus Christ, and I believe I came out of Revelations 1:19. So read that whole section in chapter 1, and it will talk about what his likes were and what he looked like. Jesus walked the earth, so he came down here in a man form, and you know, to represent God. So it tells you right there in the Bible, no need to argue about it, it's right there. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. So he doesn't see the male and the female. You know, he's not like us, of course, because he made us. Song of Solomon 5:11 says, his head is the finest gold. His locks are wavy, black as raven. It says here in Revelations 4:3, and he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and chameleon, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. And we know that the rainbow represents the covenant of God, and that's just what it is, what it represents. Proverbs 18:22. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. Now we're getting into marriage relationship. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And that's from Ephesians 5:25-26. Doesn't mean that the man is not supposed to be respectful or holy or, you know, washed clean. He says he loved like Christ loved the church. And it says, in Ephesians 5:22-23, for wives, this means submit your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. And in 1 Peter 3:7 says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. And so there you have it. That was a little bit of scriptures. I am waiting for my caller to call in. I think he's calling my phone instead, but maybe he just got mixed up. So I am going to go to a quick music break, and I'm going to play a little bit of I'm in Love, and that's a throwback. So I hope you all can groove to it a little bit. Evelyn Champagne King. There you go. That was a snippet of I'm in Love by Evelyn Champagne King. I see that my caller is waiting patiently on the line. I do want to let everybody know that Diamonds in the Rough Productions will be giving the 9th annual Women Survivor Abuse Workshop. It's going to take place June 22nd this year, called Running into the Light. And that is a program I developed in 2010 for women survivors. So if you think you might be interested, please text me, inbox me, or DM me. And it's always been a wonderful, wonderful event, filled with, you know, singers and, you know, dancers and any type of entertainment, along with prizes and games and healing exercises. And I will be teaching on this particular subject of abuse and recognizing the signs of someone who is abusive, so that you're not doomed to repeat the same pattern of choosing someone. And in any case, so contact me, 203-952-9807 via text. If you just call me, more than likely I won't pick up if I don't recognize the number. So just text me and let me know I'm interested in a ticket for Running into the Light. Birthday shout-outs. Birthday shout-outs for January and February are my little honeybee, Isaiah, Maria Daniels, my sister-in-law, my cousin Ashley Corpus, Cassandra Cookie Humphrey, my brother-in-law, Pastor Tim Williams, Brenda Culpepper. We honored Dr. Martin Luther King in January, and then not too long after that, his son Dexter died, I believe. Also, I want to give birthday shout-out to my younger brother, Stephen Daniels II, R.T. Smith, my cousin, Michael Shabazz, whose birthday was on Friday, and my godchildren, Tajay McCain and Ladybug, Brianna Gormany. And I'm going to, before I go to plug him in, I'm going to play his newest cut. I heard it and I just fell in love with it because, you know, I love hip hop. That's the era I grew up in the 80s. This one, I saw his video and I really liked it. And we're going to play Top Down by City 203, The Genie.
Yeah. Magic Maker. You already know to live is to suffer out this.
Word.
Life's a bitch until you die. That's why we throw that money to the sky. Every day we gon' ride, we gon' ride. Ride. Then you die. That's why we throw that money to the sky. Every day we gon' ride, we gon' ride, ride, ride. Listen, top down, the only way to live. I signed another deal, I done crossed another bridge. I put a crib on my wrist, pop a bottle of crisps. I never thought that I would see days like this. Take the top off the Polaris, now everybody staring. Got my face on the fairing and my logo on the staring. I'm a problem with mob ties, I get you hard tied. May the force be with you, devil coming to get you. I'm with a bunch of good fellas, neighborhood drug dealers. We set the trends, no wonder these niggas won't kill us. A million souls to go, flow raw as a coke, you know the game. With me, I'm achieving my goals, riding this pothole road, still trying to figure out where to go. I'm slipping in the rain, my vision is Cartier frames. Now how can I maintain with mask on my brain? 100K in the chain, going against the grain, nigga. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we throw that money to the sky. Every day we gon' ride, we gon' ride, ride, ride. That's facts. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we throw that money to the sky. Every day we gon' ride, we gon' ride. I've been getting to a big bag, got them all big mad. I'm still smoking Zaza, rolled up in that zigzag. I guess they all want this attention, cause I'm shaking hands with niggas that it costs to mention. P showed me crypto, headed to another dimension. Walked out on my city job, told him your pension. I'm buying mansions now, better cribs to live in, better neighborhoods to raise kids in. I jumped out the window on a leap of faith. It's pressure on my release date. They praying on my downfall, hoping I break or catch a case. Ain't no love for me. Plus they judging me straight out the gate. They gon' really hate when I pull up in that race with that shiny suit on, Connecticut's version of Mace. And I ain't gon' stop no matter how long it takes. I see you chumps on top. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we throw that money to the sky. Every day we gon' ride, we gon' ride, ride.
That's
facts. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we throw that money to the sky. Every day we gon' ride, we gon' ride. And that's facts. Ride. Ride. Me and my niggas gon' ride. We gon' celebrate living while we living. That's word.
Magic Maker. There you have it. That was Top Down by City 203. Who is holding on. I just want to tell you who he is, give him a nice introduction. City 203, The Genie, is out of Stamford, Connecticut. He is a rap artist that has been rapping for over 20 years. He has a new video out, Top Down, which you just heard, and a love song called Call in Mine, and you'll hear that a little later on. He is my cousin. And I'm going to plug him in right now. Hello.
Hey now, hey now, hey now.
Hey, what up?
What up? What's going on?
How you doing today?
All right. How you doing?
Good, good. Get in the area where there's a good connection because I don't want us to be going in and out and I can't hear you.
Right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Much better.
Okay. So how are you? How are you? How are things?
Things are going and they're pretty good. I'm trying to organize an event. But we're here to talk about you and what you have been doing over these past 20 years when it comes to your creativity and artistic expression doing hip hop. And you know, before we get into it, I want everybody to know me and you are blood related. We're not just play cousins.
yes. For sure.
Yes. And your grandfather, Uncle Nathaniel Frazier, was my grandmother, my father's mother's oldest brother.
Yes.
And so. Right. And so I grew up, you know, me and Myron were around the same age. So me and you didn't grow up that much playing together like little cousins do and stuff like that.
Right.
But yes, and you have been doing some amazing things with the music. I remember seeing you back in the day down the hill. I think that was Sunset they called it many years ago.
Sunset on five. You throwing me back with that one. You threw me way back with that one.
Yes, that's when we were real skinny and, you know, just young and all of that.
Yes,
I was
young
still,
and free.
You know,
young and free.
Yes. And you stuck with it. You stuck with it. You kept doing it. Tell me how you got to this place. Start at the beginning, because we got time. This is a special on you, you know. Tell me, you know, from the beginning, what were some of the things or things that took place in your life that spoke to you, that made you gravitate to music?
Well, music has been a part of my life since the day I was born. You know, my mom was heavy in the music before I was born. So I had that in my blood from day one. My mom used to tour with Bob Marley. She used to sing background for Bob Marley. She brought hip hop. She was part of bringing reggae to America. She's actually in the reggae. My mom is in the Reggae Hall of Fame. You can look up my mom, Maxine Miller, in the Reggae Hall of Fame. Yeah, She was one of the first. She used to tour all over the world with Bob Marley, Sugar Minot, all those guys. And it was Bob that convinced her to do her solo thing. And then she started her solo thing. And now she was touring with them as an artist and not as a background singer anymore.
Okay.
You know, so I didn't have her predominantly in my life because of her touring, but I was getting cards from all different places, Japan. She's done been all over the world. She's done toured everywhere. So, as I say, it's in the blood. I always knew when I was younger that's what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm,
I loved
mm-hmm.
it. I really gravitated towards music when I was younger. I would learn the words, and I used to ask myself, like, how do I remember all the words to all of these songs that come on the radio that people were playing around me? It's because I had a connection with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so that right there is what really drawed me to it, is that it's always been there. It's always been a tool that I could reach for. So when I figured out that I wanted to do it, there was nothing around for me. I didn't have any equipment. I didn't have, you know, proper training. So I started, you know, peeking my nose around because my family, we also have a family reggae band called Anthem Reggae Band. They've been around for many years. I think the Anthem Band has been around maybe 35 years, something like that. And my mom was one of the original members when Anthem was first starting out.
And, okay.
So I'd have my brothers, cousins, uncles, everybody's in the house either playing an instrument, singing, doing vocals. It was always around. So
yes.
So I figured, you know what? I wanted to try it. I started poking around with it. I started poking around with it a little bit, grabbing instruments, playing around with them.
How
old
were you?
I probably was about maybe 6 years old, grabbing instruments that I was getting yelled at because I ain't supposed to be messing with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these instruments cost a lot of money, especially back in the day. You know, you get your hands on a real good instrument, you don't want nobody messing with that, especially not your nephew or your little brother messing with your strings on your guitar.
Right.
You know. So, you know, those were the things that kind of influenced me, was everybody around me was doing it. But I didn't think that I was ever as good as they were. So I was shy with it.
And so, you know, as you grew and you were in elementary and middle school, do you think there were any people in your life that said, go for it, I see something in you? Or you just solely just saw that in yourself? Because you had so many musicians around, and then, you know, people are doing gigs themselves and sometimes, you know, not really paying attention to the gift that the child has.
Right. And that's where I kind of felt left out. And I also kind of felt like I can't show them what I'm doing because it ain't on the level that they're on, you know? So
right.
I always hid it. I used to be writing my little rhymes and stuff like that, but I would never let nobody hear what I was writing or what I was doing because I never thought it was worthy, you know?
And you was real shy to me.
Right.
You were shy.
Right.
You wasn't that boisterous, loud, you know, child. And I do remember that.
Yeah.
You know.
I was real quiet.
Yeah.
And finally, that one day, a friend of mine, actually, he came out that he was doing the music as well. He was writing and stuff like that. And I was like, really? I was like, I've been doing that too, but don't nobody know. He's like, yeah, me either. Nobody knows. So we started reciting stuff to each other because, you know, we were tight enough to where we could show it to each other and nobody else was going to hear it, you know?
Right.
And that's when he was like, he's like, you dope. He's like, I love what you wrote, this, that. He started complimenting my stuff. And I was just like, I'm wondering if I should start showing people, you know?
Right.
But, of course, you get your criticism. You're young. So he's like, you did a good job, but you're not ready yet. It was always that, you know, you ain't ready yet because you were younger, you know? And my uncle was like, I hear the potential. I hear you got potential, but it's a lot more than just what you think it is, you know? So, but that, I never let that stop me. I always kept still doing what it was that I felt in my heart was what I should be doing, you know?
And you had a quiet determination within you that pushed you, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I used to fight to try to get
it. I didn't see none of that when I used to come visit, you know, and Grandma used to bring me over to the house. Did Uncle Nathaniel hear any of your work before he passed away?
He heard some stuff before he passed away. He definitely did.
Okay.
He heard some stuff. And I always told him that this is my passion. This is what I want to do. I used to be playing that music in that room, Late night, I'll be in there playing that music in that room. He come knocking on the door, turn it down in there, boy. I'm pretty
I
sure
used to get kicked out the house.
Right. I'm pretty sure
porch.
Him and Grandma, I think they both knew what I was going to do in life.
Right.
You know, I don't think they ever thought that I would get to where I feel like I'm at now. I wish they were around to see what all that racket that I was making in the room turned into.
Turned into, yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes, I hear you. And so the first time you performed one of your pieces, how old were you and where were you at?
Wow. I think I was 10 years old, and that was at Yearwood Center.
Okay.
Woo, that is going back right there.
Yeah.
Yes. Hoping I didn't forget
the
words.
Was it the Star Vision production people?
I don't know exactly
who
the people were, but I remember, you know, them having the event and me signing up for the event because I was going to Yearwood. I used to go there to swim and play basketball, and I seen the little flyer that they had in the hallway on the board. So I signed up for it, and, you know, they had us come in to practice on the stage before we performed. We had, like, I think it was, like, 2 weeks before the show was, and they wanted to hear our material, hear what we were going to be doing. And that was my first time actually standing on a stage, period, was that year. Was
wow. Wow. So what all did you see that said, this is it, I'm going to the next level? I mean, because I know that had to impact you, because I remember my first performance like it was yesterday. I was only 5, you know, singing down south with Grandma. You know, and, you know, so tell me, what was that like for you to have experienced that at such a young age?
Right. It was scary at first. It was real scary at first because I didn't know. I almost knew everybody that was in there besides a couple of the parents that I seen before but didn't really know them. So for me to go up there and perform was like, wow, am I really going to do this? Forgetting the words. But when I finally got out there and I got on that stage, I did my set to the T. And when I was finished, the love that I got, that's what made me say, you know what? I want to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got the applause. I got the shy guy came out the shell.
Right.
I felt like that's where I needed to be. And that's where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know?
And you were really good at Sunset. You and Andre, they call him Humphrey Bogart. He's been on before. But y'all both were dynamic back then, you know?
Back then. I felt like we were ahead of our time back then already.
Right.
You know,
right.
So with that being said, I started looking into my craft, which a lot of people weren't doing. They said they were doing it, but they were never really looking into their craft and what it actually takes and what it needs to, how it needs to be to get it done.
Right. And so on that note, we're going to take a short break. But first, I want to ask you, because the topic is loving and loving my blackness. And so I know it's a broad category because love can mean so many different things.
Right.
And you know when you experience love, you know, and if you don't know, then it's a sad situation and you need to find out what love is if you have not received any love yet in your life,
right?
Because people have all different types of circumstances. So,
oh, yeah.
what is yeah, what does that speak to you? Loving, because this is February, you know, but you should love your loved ones all year long. But, you know, because it was Valentine's Day recognized, you know, what does that mean to you?
For me?
Yeah, for you and your life, you know.
For me, it's just more of love thyself. Got to love yourself first before you can love anybody else is how I feel. Because a lot of people don't love themselves. They don't love who they are, or they don't love how
they
look, or they don't love where they're at in their life. Love yourself and love the fact that you have life and that you woke up and you're still breathing. There's people that didn't wake up this morning.
That's true.
Love
so,
yourself.
So true.
And whatever
yes.
skin you're in, it doesn't matter. Black, white, orange, yellow. Love yourself and who you are.
Yes.
And if people don't love you for who you are, that's on them. But you shouldn't be trying to change yourself unless that's just for you. But I wouldn't be trying to change myself for someone else. I love me and who I am.
I get what you're saying.
And that's
I get what you're saying.
That's what I get from it.
Okay.
A lot of people say, oh, it's about the women. It's about this. It's about that. Nah, for me, it's about loving who you are, liking yourself,
Absolutely.
Loving yourself.
Absolutely. And that's what I have been trying to do for myself. Basically, since I've been an adult, but for the most part, for the past 20 years or so, is relearning things, you know, relearning what's supposed to be what, being healthy in a healthy relationship and what that really means, and undoing what you've been taught that was wrong, and, you know, and all of that is a part of building your self-esteem, your self-worth, your self-value. Because if you don't have that and you get into a relationship, it's going to be completely unhealthy. You know?
It's going to be unhealthy. Toxic, they call it now.
Right. Absolutely. And so let's go to a let's go to a break, and you can, you know, take your time to come back. Give or take about 7 minutes, and I'm going to be just talking, and I'm going to put you on mute. And when you hear me finish talking, and I'll plug you right back in so we can continue with this interview. It's been wonderful so far. And enjoyable. So hold on, and we'll do that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, there you have it. That is my cousin, City 203. Have him on hold. I'm going to go to a quick music break first, and this is I'm Still by LaVert.
Gonna be enough. when I think back on the times that we've had. I remember holding you in my arms, yeah. And when you were down, I was there to pick you up. And I made all your clothes so warm, so warm.
That was I'm Still by LaVert. I still love that song. You know, and for me, it's just, you know, at this stage in my life, I am just loving me. I'm learning to love on the Lord and accept his loving kindness towards me and, you know, just delve more into that. And, you know, I love my family. You know, we can argue as many times as we want, but I'm very protective of my family, and I, you know, don't get it twisted. I may be a minister, but I'm human first, and I love my family, and I love the Lord, and so that is how I get to grow, and leading myself into things that are going to support that. And if there's too much negativity coming from a person, I don't care who you are, a love relationship, a friend, a family member, you got to go. You got to go because I can't jeopardize my peace of mind with having toxicity in my life because I've had too much of it in my life growing up. And so I have to be cautious at this point of who I let in my space. And so you hear what I'm trying to say, but I still love many people that I have been in love with. I'm not in love with them anymore, but I still love. There's a couple people that still have my heart, and I wish them well, or I still care about them deeply. And so I'm going to move on from that thought. More announcements. If you would like to book an interview on this show, go to the show page. All the information is up there. It is $40 for a personal interview. And if you're a celebrity or a trying to promote your business and share information on your business, it is much more. All the details are up there. Forms of payment are all up there. So please contact me if you are interested. Donations. If you find it in your heart, God lays it on your heart to give to myself or Diamonds in the Rough, you could do that by using the same information on the show page. You could order books. You could order art. Go to my website, which is www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. And go through each of the pages to see what it is might interest you. DM me, inbox me, text me, you know, to let me know your choices, if you choose a book or artwork, and then you can call me or whatever, and we could discuss it. You could Cash App, PayPal, Venmo. I have Square POS in person, or we'll figure it out. If you like me to do anything else, to MC your event, to teach a particular class or run Diamonds in the Rough classes, you can do that. If you'd like me to preach, reach out to me, and we can discuss that too. Sexual assault and domestic violence, I am doing an event June 22nd. Get your tickets. They are $47 a piece. If you want me as a spoken word artist, a comedian, actress, et cetera, reach out to me and we can talk. Condolences go out to my sister-in-law's cousin and my sister Maria and her family for their loss. If you have lost a loved one since the last segment of this show, my heart goes out to you, and I pray for healing in your family and love in your family, and that you may be able to get through it in God's strength. Also, there is a segment of the show that I started called Putting You on Blast, and I'm putting DraftKings on blast from the Super Bowl because they took my $10 that I did for the Super Bowl thing, was trying to get into it and try to get all football-y like I used to do back in the 90s, and these people kept having me to upload my ID. I think they requested it about 12 times. And I've been going back and forth with customer service. Apparently, they had a glitch in their system on that particular day during the Super Bowl, but they are not honoring any refunds or anything on their part. They just keep sending me, upload your ID, which I've uploaded several times. So be cautious. I know you see these people on a commercial, but I don't care. If something ain't right, then you need to say something, okay? And to reiterate, the last show in December, which we ended on with my brother-in-law, Pastor Tim Williams, and his wife, my sister, Tasha, Dr. Tasha Williams. And I asked Tim, you know, what did he think about pastors who you talk to in private or you share something with, and then they put it on blast as a sermon or talk about it openly in a situation. And you know it's you because you're like sitting there, you know, this has happened to me. You know it's you, but I think it's cowardly. I think it's immature. I think that if something needs to be addressed, you go to that person directly and you speak to them. And I have no problem going to a person and asking them, you know, what's up? What do you mean? Talk to me. You know, I don't have that problem, you know, without causing an argument or, you know, it resulting in a disagreement or altercation. I think that that is something that you break the trust of the person that confided in you. And this is like, you know, one-on-one principle when you are in ministry and they're discussing something with you in ministry and you go and share it with everyone, what your thoughts are instead of bringing it to that person. And I asked him to enlighten us on that subject, and he said to run. Run if anyone is going to a church where this is being done, or the pastor is doing this, or whoever, the pastor, the bishop, the reverend, the minister, even myself. You know, I know that that is something that is supposed to say stay confidential. And if you're listening, I just want to tell you, you're dead wrong, period. You should know better at this point if you are put in that position, and you should be held accountable for that. You need to rip yourself, and I'm saying it. I may not be a bishop, but I'm saying it because I know that it's wrong. And so anyway, I want to get off of that subject. I'm going to play another cut, and I'm going to bring City 203, the Genie, back in. This is Colin Mine, his other new cut. And so let me find it, and then I'm going to play it for you all. I know you're going to enjoy this love song. If I can find it. Here we go. Calling Mine by City 203.
You free city. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you.
I slept on the phone.
It's your body, been calling mine on that FaceTime. Like, pick me up and don't waste time. Pick me up from my waistline. It's the vibe for the nighttime. I'ma make you all mine. Our bodies gon' intertwine. I'ma spend all of my time on you. Getting deep inside, starting to slip and slide. No need for tickets, this is a free roller coaster ride. Emotions getting high, I'm here to satisfy your ex-man. Couldn't do you right, so I'm here to do you right like a boss, baby. When you need to talk, I rub your body down, hot oil massage. After a long day at work, come home to your king. I'ma ask you how your day was. Take off your shoes and them jeans. Together we're a team. I encourage you to follow your dreams, and I'ma back you, I'll fund it if that's what you need. I just wanna make you smile and keep you smiling and keep you coming, cause my tongue is a special talent that'll keep you balanced.
Calling Mine by City 203, the Genie. I am Cherie Humphrey of Talk to Me Radio. I am going to plug my caller back in so he can continue. We can continue this interview.
Hey.
Hey. Yes, I love that song. And, you know, I would like to keep it real because I'm sorry. If you get married, you're not going to be playing T.D. Jakes in the bedroom. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen to me. I don't know about nobody else. I'm a Christian. But on my honeymoon, we ain't playing no T.D. Jakes up in there.
No T.D. Jakes.
Put it like that.
I hear you.
I might be playing Calling Mine.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. City, we were talking about loving, and now I want to talk about loving my blackness, and we're going to get back to your journey. Loving
mm-hmm.
my blackness, what does that mean to you? Because, you know, our black people have gone through generations and generations of toxicity and slavery and having the slave mentality carry on. You know, I see more and more mixed kids than I have ever seen in my life, and I don't know what that means. Everybody has the same curly afro, I mean, and are, you know, light skin. And I'm not talking about, because I am light skin, you know, I'm not talking about hating your complexion, but what does this mean? And are we loving our blackness still, like in the 70s, you know, and in the 80s? You know, what has happened? What does that mean to you?
Oh, loving my blackness. For me, I would say loving my blackness is loving the skin that I'm in. I love myself. I love who I am. I bring to the room when I walk into those rooms. And if you know what I mean by those rooms where I'm the only black face in it.
Yeah.
Which is a room that I walk into every day.
Yes.
When I get up and I go to work, where I work, the only face in there is mine. The only black face
right.
in there is mine. And I love my blackness. I love that I bring something different to the table. I love that.
Yes.
The guys that I do work with
mm-hmm.
understand me. They understand me. They love the fact that I bring something different to the
right.
table. And I like the fact that me and my blackness has things that I can bring to the table to teach them.
Right.
So that they can
right.
learn and that they can learn from us, which
yes.
For me is what they've always done. Because
right.
if you look at all of the things that we've done and created, I mean, 90% of the things that we have now were created by us.
Us. That's right.
TVs. I mean, you name it. Traffic lights. I mean, you name it. These things started from us.
Yes.
So loving my blackness? Yes, I love my blackness. I love that when I step in that room and they feel like I ain't supposed to know something that I do know.
Right.
That's me loving my blackness again.
Absolutely.
I love showing that we are just as talented. I love to show that we're just as smart and dedicated.
Yep. Yes.
And that's the
yes.
one thing that I can say about us. I love that we are, black people are dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? I say we're dedicated because we consistently fight. We never stop. Since
yes.
the days of Martin and Malcolm, we never
right.
stop fighting. Even when we got a spot, it wasn't good enough. We always
right.
kept fighting. We always wanted more
yes.
and better and greater. And that's what we are. We're fighters.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're
and
fighters.
You mentioned Martin and you mentioned Malcolm X, and I loved Malcolm X just as much as I loved Martin Luther King. And probably Malcolm X I gravitated to in college as a young adult and young woman more so. I'm going to be playing a clip at the end of Malcolm X talking about police brutality. So anyone that's listening, if you hear it, these are not my words, these are his. But what they are is truth at that time. And in some situations are still truth to this day. And so some people may not enjoy it, but it is truth. And so that is a part of who we are, just as much as Martin Luther King and any other person champion that has made great strides in helping black people and educating in all areas of life. And we've been doing that since day one. We are the originators and creators. You know what I'm saying? That's just simply it. And fact is fact. And, you know, they did not let us know this back in the day.
Right.
Because when I was growing up, you didn't have that. And then once I did become a young adult, they took out black history at a certain point. So I had, thank God I went to a HBCU in the beginning, you know, Howard and Wilberforce, because I learned who I was, you know, and I learned the impact that black people, African American, whatever you want to say, have done in this United States of America from day one. So, you are so right. You are so right. And I understand exactly what you are saying. And so let's get back to you.
Right.
What is it that you think gives you the drive to succeed in this music industry? Because you've been doing this for a very long time, a little over two decades. And I know you're going to make it wherever you're trying to. I know you put in the time and you're still doing it.
Right. I go back to what we talked about the first time, love. Because this is just not, it's not work. It's not, this is love for me. I grow to love what I do.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference. That makes a difference because
it sure does.
I'm not going in the studio because I got to get down there because I got to work. I'm working this 9 to 5 and I'm slaving. No, I'm going down there because this is where I feel most comfortable. It's my go-to. It's my place. It's my sanctuary. It's where I can go and decompress. It's where I can go and relieve the stress and the things that are on my brain. I can get them off my chest in musical form. And it's just been, it's been my wheel.
Yes, yes. It's your purpose.
You know, exactly.
It's your purpose.
It's my purpose. And I figured that out, that that's my purpose. My purpose is this music. And there's several variations. There's several variations to me when it comes to this music. It's about what I'm feeling. I don't know how other people go in the studio and create things, but when I go in the studio, it's all about the vibe, what comes to me. I play something, I sit back and I listen to it, and I let the music speak to me. It'll tell me what needs to be on it. It'll tell me just by listening to it. It's a talent that I've had.
You are not just saying it because someone gave you the lyrics. You're doing it because this is what you feel, and it's coming out, and you wrote it. It's not like nobody wrote
exactly.
it for you.
No, ain't nobody wrote nothing for me ever.
Right.
I have written songs for people. I have written songs for people. I've done a whole bunch of things within the industry as well. So
for me, like I said, it's a love thing. It's not a play thing. It's not a work thing. It's just a love thing for me. I am connected and in love with what I do.
And
that's
when
why
did
my
you
music
know?
Comes out how it does.
Exactly. And when did you know that, hey, you know, I made it. I may not be where I'm going trying to get yet, but I made it to this level. When did you know that?
Oh, when I knew that I had something in and out, that I was at a level where things could be played in places and people would actually sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a studio in New York. I was in Daddy's house, which is P. Diddy's studio.
Okay.
And I played a song in the studio with these guys. Now, these are platinum producers. These are platinum artists. And these guys went crazy over a song that I played. And
wow.
at that point, I knew that my music was on the level with everything else that was out there.
Right, right. And some even better. And so,
right, because there's no bigger, there for me, there's no bigger than, for me, where I was at with it. There was nothing greater than to go to your favorite artists that are actually out here playing on the radio and them complimenting you and your music and what you're doing, and they're
right
on the radio.
Yes.
That did it for
yes
me. That did it for me.
Right.
That
right
did it for me right there.
And that would do it, I guess, for many people, you know,
right,
that are trying to, you know, grow and make their mark in the music business. And, you know, long as you stay true to who you are and yourself, regardless of superstars around you.
Right,
you know?
Right. And I've never sold out. I've never
mm-hmm
did music because, hey, this is what's trending now. So we want you to do your stuff like this or like that. I never sold out. I stuck to what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And that's my music that you're hearing coming out now. It's not branded by anybody else but me. It's not
right
painted by anybody else but me.
And so, Sidi, tell me, where are some of the places that you have performed at? You know, just a few of the places that stand out for you.
I remember a very good performance was in Sullivan Hall. You ever heard of a place called Sullivan Halls in downtown Manhattan?
No.
There's a big hall out there called Sullivan Hall. And there was a lady by the name of Miss L. She had her own radio show as well called The L Factor.
Okay.
And so I went out there and I opened up for Fred the Godson before he was Fred the Godson and got famous and got big. He recently passed away a couple of years ago as well. Rest in peace,
oh
Fred
goodness
the Godson. Yeah, he
right
got COVID killed him.
Oh,
you know, yeah, caught COVID and COVID took Fred out. Rest
jeez
in peace.
Right.
But I didn't even know that it was Fred. So I did that show. It was a real big show. There was a lot of entertainers on that show. So Miss L, she loved my song so much. She took my song Champagne Life. She put it out on the radio. She had me call up and do an interview as well on the radio. It was a big movement. It was a big movement. And those guys, they showed so much love. They showed so much love. Shout out to Miss L and the L Factor as well. They're
right
doing their thing out in New York. But Sullivan Hall
okay
is one of the spots. I don't know if you remember back in the days, the Terrace Club.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I remember it all too well.
Right, right. I performed in a terrace club. I performed in a terrace club, me and my group. I had a group at the time, CT Unit. And we performed in there for Eric Sherman. And I don't know if you know Eric Sherman's from EPMD. Eric Sherman, we performed. Eric Sherman pulled me to the side and told me, I love what you guys are doing. He said, you guys are so tight. The music is dope. I love what you got. And he gave me his business card. So,
wow.
I mean, we've had so many influences by so many different artists that we, you know, I knew that that's where I was supposed to be because it
right.
welcomed me with open arms. When I got around
and you were at the Summer Groove too, 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you were there because
I
remember
saw you out
I was
there.
Doing the
my family reggae band was playing. My family reggae band played at that. Yeah, so I was out there showing them some love.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. What's the place in New Haven? I performed out there in New Haven as well. I opened up for DMX.
Humphrey?
That was a real dope show.
Was it Humphrey?
What's the name of that
show? Van
Dorn? It's in New Haven, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, Van Dorn's in
real,
New Haven.
Real
I'll
big
just think
club.
Of.
Yeah, it's a real
that's
big.
That's the only big club I can think of.
It's where all,
I don't
the,
know.
All
I don't...
the big artists. It's where all the big artists come to perform that up there. I mean, from reggae artists. I don't think the name of it was Van Dome. I thought it started with a T. I just can't think of it right now. But I opened up for DMX there. And that was a great show. I got to meet the dog. The dog.
Yes. God rest
you
his
know,
soul.
So,
yes.
Right. And these experiences is just what helped branded me to where I'm at today because
and 50 Cent. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but 50
right,
Cent.
50. Yep. I was going to get to 50 and also French Montana.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen the picture.
As well.
Yeah. Cause I love me some 50 Cent now.
Oh yeah. That man's a genius. man is a genius.
Yes.
He is a genius.
He remind me of my dad, you know.
Right.
He remind me of my father.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he took the business of street and used the knowledge from the street and just applied it to a different game.
Right. Right.
And now he's one of the biggest businessmen out here right now.
Yes.
this man is remarkable
smart,
with what he's done.
Yep.
Very, very, and his team as well. His team is mm-hmm. is real strong. Yeah,
well, we're getting ready to run out
people.
Of time. So, City, tell us where you're going to be performing. What do you have coming up? How can people support you by purchasing your music?
Okay, I know the 24th. Is it 24? No, the 28th next month at the Palace. King the Barber is having his album release party down there in the Palace in Bridgeport, and he wants me to perform. So if you guys want to come out, you can catch me out there live. I'm going to be doing maybe two or three of my songs that I have out now. You can look me up on Spotify at City203. I spell that with a S, S-I-T-Y, 203. I have a couple songs up there that you can download and that you can play and enjoy. And you can catch me on YouTube. Everything is City203, S-I-T-Y, 203.
Yes.
That's Instagram. That's everywhere. Google me.
Right. Right.
Right.
King on my show, I think it was last year or the year before, one or the other. And I met him, you know, because he came down when Jackson was doing the comedy shows and stuff. But y'all give this event is going to be on my birthday. So I need to talk to King the Barber or King Mafioso, what are you,
King
whatever you calling yourself.
My guy right there. It's my guy right there. And also my
yeah,
barber.
So you tell him. You tell him that's my birthday. Save me a seat.
Oh, got you. Got you. Not a
yeah.
problem.
Yeah.
I'll make sure
yeah,
he does
so,
that. I'll single-handedly
yep,
make sure he
that,
does that.
That sound like fun. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It should be nice.
You know, but is there any last-minute things you want to say very quickly to anybody that may be listening that is trying to make it in the industry and they just need some encouragement because they might not be where you are, you know?
Right.
What would you say?
I would say don't stop. I've stopped a couple of times where I said that I wasn't going to do it anymore. And I realized, that's when I didn't realize how many people were actually rooting for me and looking for me to keep working.
Right.
And it took me stopping for people to actually brought me back. They were like, you did what? You should never stop.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? This, that, and I didn't
right.
know so many people cared because nowadays people look at your stuff, but they may not like it or they may not do this or do that. They may not hit a like, but they're watching.
Oh, yes,
and
they
when
are.
So when I thought that nobody was watching, everybody was watching. So don't
watching.
Stop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't stop.
Yes.
Keep doing it.
Yep, keep doing it because people may not like for whatever reason. And like you said, you don't know, you know, if this is something that might be good, but you got to trust God and trust in your heart
right.
that you are doing the right thing no matter
the
who
right
press
thing.
Like or who don't press, who to press it, who don't press it. You got to
well.
Know in your heart. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So thank you so much, cuz, for coming on. I appreciate
hey,
your time.
Thank you for having
and
me.
You
already know.
All right. Yes. God bless and tell
anytime.
Everybody hi.
I will.
All
later.
Right. Bye-bye. All right. There you have it. That was City 203, the genie. Who has graced the show on tonight. I am going to play a little bit of this love song, Never Gonna Let You Go by Blackstreet.
Yes, you do, baby. And I'm never gonna let you go.
There you have it. That was Never Gonna Let You Go by Blackstreet. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio, and I am your host, Cherie Humphrey. I do want to say the salvation prayer for anybody that wants to do it and wants to receive the Lord into their heart. Coming from Romans 10, 9 through 11, New Living Translation, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. So you could say that out loud, talk to the Lord in your own private time, and then you could share it with someone who is seasoned in Christ and to help you to understand better and to move forward in your salvation. And it won't be easy once you accept the Lord into your heart. It's not going to be peachy cream, you know, peaches and cream. It is a lifestyle that you continue, and if you fall, you get back up and, you know, and ask God for forgiveness and, you know, repent and just move on, and you grow and you learn. But you have someone to go to. You have someone that is watching out for you, that is loving on you, and hopefully, you know, things will progress and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And it will be a comforter. It will be an educator to you. It would be something that leads and guides you into doing the right thing. But we are human, so you have to know that we're going to make mistakes. And so I want to end with that. And I'm going to play another a favorite song of mine by Mr. Johnny Gill, Lady Du Jour. Sometimes you got to let go of the negativity even when you love someone. Because I know I've loved and I still love. I mean, but if you did something crazy, if you did something to harm me in any way and I let you go, it was for a good reason. So let's go here. Lady Du Jour.
My lady, my lady, hey, for you I don't mind waiting.
There you have it. That was Lady Du Jour by Johnny Gill. I don't think I have enough time to read all the past guests, but I will read, like, my first page, which is Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, D. Lucas, the legendary Yo-Yo, Donnell Jones, and Special Ed, DJ Juan Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Bonita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Cardwell, Al Thomas, the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., God rest his soul, J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Mike Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Norman Tapping, Chris C. Clark, I believe, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Morero, Spencer Camp, and Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, J. Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Janice Dempsey, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judah Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazelle, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Ms. Conduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, Jay Trini Gorn, Coffee Gorn, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nod Nottingham of The Stylistics, Midnight, tongue twisted here, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King the Barber, Jonathan Pierre Du Bois, Jr. and Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, who had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, Pastor Avis Daniels, Andrea Daniels. And I'm going to stop right there. The streaming will stop, but I will let you listen to this piece by Martin Luther King. I mean Malcolm X, fiery speech addressing police brutality. Listen.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house